Well, our text today is from Luke chapter 20. It's on page 745 under the heading The Resurrection and Marriage. And it's one of the few places that Jesus tells us a little bit about what heaven is going to be like. Most of what we have in the scriptures are painting of images, but here Jesus tells us something specific about the resurrection. It starts, some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. And finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since she married all seven? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Well, it's an interesting passage that we have here. Let me look for my clicker. There it is. All right. It's about the Sadducees and the Pharisees in the temple. Now, we hear mostly about Pharisees because Paul was a Pharisee. But there were two major branches of Jews at the time of Jesus. And today, it's the Sadducees who are confronting Jesus. It's soon after Palm Sunday. He's in the temple in Jerusalem, and he's been teaching. And they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, so they're trying to pose questions. And so, you know, who should you pay taxes to? And all kinds of questions. And today they pose a question about whether or not there is a resurrection from the dead. Because the Sadducees and the Pharisees disagreed on this issue. And it was the Sadducees who said, we don't believe there's a resurrection. It's just life in this world. And it's just whether or not if you obey the law, you're blessed. If you break the law, you're going to be punished. But there is no life after death. Part of the reason for that is the Sadducees only believed in the first five books of the Bible. That's all they considered to be inspired. And that's basically the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And they were the ones that were in control of the temple and the temple laws and the temple sacrifices. Whereas Paul and the Pharisees believed in a resurrection, they believed not only in the first five books, but they also believed in the prophets. And in the rest of the scripture, there are a number of passages that refer to life after death. In the first five books, there isn't much. And that's where in our text, Jesus says, well, the only thing in the first five books, he says, is the story of Moses and the burning bush. And he says there when God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not I was the God of them. I am the God of them. And Jesus used that kind of as a proof text to say, see, they are still living. There is life after death. But what the Sadducees did was they posed this awkward question. What if a man, and this is based on the law in Deuteronomy 25. The law was, if your brother got married, and he dies, and there wasn't any children. It was your responsibility to marry your brother's widow. That was the law, to guarantee that she would have a child to carry on the name. And so they pose this question, what if there were seven brothers and she marries the one and she then takes on the next one and he dies and she's married to all seven brothers and then finally she dies, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? There can't be a resurrection because she'd be all seven of their wife to all seven of them. And so Jesus has this stunning proclamation, there's no marriage in heaven. Whoa. No marriage in heaven? How often do we talk at the funerals? Oh, we're going to get together and I'm going to see and I'm going to be with that person that I have loved and we're going to be reunited. And here Jesus says, nope, in heaven there's no marriage. There's no marriage in heaven. What a shocker. And that raises all kinds of questions then. If there's no marriage in heaven, will I know my spouse? Or will that be an awkward meeting, kind of like going back to a high school reunion and seeing your high school sweetheart? Whoa, we're not in this relationship here. Will I know my spouse? Will I not remember that I was married? Will it create anxiety? How is that all going to work itself out if we're not married to the people we were married to here on earth? Well, it's a tough question to ponder. One you might, if you go out for lunch after church, or if you go home to a meal, or tonight we've got dinners for eight, and I'll pose that question. What do you think those relationships will be like then when we get to heaven? Because he doesn't go into it a lot. All he says is there's no marriage in heaven. Well, I think what the Bible does do is says the focus of the hereafter is our relationship with God. And there won't be the need for that intimate marriage relationship because everything's going to be focused on a relationship with God, deeper, more intimate, more powerful than we've ever experienced here on earth. And that relationship is got with God in the hereafter is going to fill all those emotional needs, all the need for love that we have that are sometimes met by our spouses here on earth. Those needs are going to be met by God in our relationship with God, and that's going to be the focus of the hereafter. And it's amazing how many times that the scriptures, when they give us images of the hereafter, are marriage images. Revelation 21, there's a new heaven and a new earth, and as it's described, it's coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And so eternity is kind of like Jesus is the groom, and all of us that then are in this new heaven and new earth are like a bride prepared to be in relationship with Jesus, who is our groom. He is the one who will love us in ways deeper, more powerfully than we could have known here on earth. And again, Jesus doesn't go into a lot of detail other than just simply saying there won't be marriage, but then he talks about, or all the images of Scripture talk about that relationship with God in a marriage type of language, except we're married to God. I like kind of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:12. He says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, then we shall know fully, even as we have been fully known. And so the other thing is to fully know God. You know, on earth, we talk about spiritual highs. And as you go through life, sometimes, you know, you graph a chart of your life and you can see a times here and there where you just felt an incredible closeness to God. But it's not all the time. We don't experience that here all the time. But then we'll know God fully. And what the scripture also tells us is God is love. So we're going to know love fully. We know it in part now. We know it ideally. Marriage is the best place where we know it. But in the hereafter, it's going to be that union, that relationship with God, where we will know God fully as well as being fully known by God. And it's going to be glorious. How exactly all the other relationships work themselves out, that I don't know. And that's a question for discussion around a dining room table. But the one relationship that matters is the relationship with God, and it will be as if He is the bridegroom and all of us are His bride. We are in love with God for eternity. And the other thing I often wonder about is, what are we going to do for eternity? Do we have jobs? I don't want to be in charge. You know, every once in a while says, oh, I want to be one of the apostles who's on the throne and in charge of this. I don't want to be in charge of anything when I get to heaven. But are we going to be in charge of stuff? Are we going to have jobs to do, responsibilities? Is there going to be alarm clocks? Missed my time to get up for my job today and in eternity. I don't know. Will there be art? Will there be recreation? Will we eat? Will we know the pleasure of food like we know here on earth? Doesn't talk a lot about the other imagery that we have. The only thing that the Bible talks about us doing in heaven is worship. Is worship gathered around the throne of God with unceasing praise of God. I don't know, it better be different than earthly worship. Yes, this may be the most joyful hour of the week, but if I keep you for 2 hours, you're not going to be a joyful lot. So when it talks about unending worship, you know, we're pressing it if we go over an hour. Okay, I'll give you a joyful hour, Pastor, but not two. So worship's going to be different if it's unceasing, unending. But again, it's going to be different because God's going to be there fully. I love the way Revelation, you know, God Himself will wipe away our tears. God will be with us in a more powerful way. So when we worship in heaven, it's not worshiping the God who is distant, but worshiping the God who is right there with us, filling us with His love. But for me, I think, yeah, even as a pastor, a better image that the scripture gives us than simply worshiping unceasingly is the heavenly banquet. You know, how many times did Jesus say, you know, it's like the groom and he comes and everybody's invited to be a part of the banquet. And thinking of eternity as a celebration of joy for eternity. You know, for many of you, when one of the most joyful days, I still remember Wendy coming down the aisle and just that wonderful sense of anticipation and joy on our wedding day. Or remembering a friend, someone else that you've celebrated with at their wedding and the joy that takes place at a time like that. And to say, eternity, Jesus says, is kind of like that heavenly wedding banquet. You know, when our daughter got married this last time, she got married on a cruise ship. And I think that could be an updated version of the biblical model of a heavenly wedding banquet on a cruise ship. What a perfect, it was so neat. You know, the wedding rehearsal dinner is at one of the private restaurants on the cruise ship. The wedding was at the top of a lounge where you had 360 degrees of windows, the ocean and the Alaskan coastline was there. When the wedding was over, you could go dancing in one of the lounges. You could see entertainment in the theater. Our kids love to sing karaoke, so our group was all in the karaoke bars singing different karaoke, but having a blast. And then each day that followed, we were making a stop here and a stop there, and it was just one fun day after another. And what a neat way to say, you know, an updated biblical image. They give you the heavenly banquet, but imagine that banquet on a cruise ship. And for eternity, you're enjoying the food and you're enjoying the entertainment and you learn, and you know, like education classes, you learn about the depth of God's love for you, and there are opportunities to worship God back, and you stop at places and see the greatness of God's creation day after day after day, and to think, wow, that's kind of what it's going to be like maybe in heaven. That heavenly banquet that never ends. And combining that with a cruise just makes me think I can relate to that a lot more than 24/7 around a throne. And the great thing about it is that each one of us has a ticket for that cruise, and we got it at our baptism. You are a child of God. And so you've got passage on that eternal heavenly cruise banquet ship. You may not know what your cabin is like. I don't know if we'll have an inside cabin or have a balcony. It doesn't really matter. I don't know where the stops are going to be. It doesn't really matter. But may you know that God's promise to us as his children, there is a heavenly banquet that awaits us that goes on for eternity. Bon voyage. Amen. Let us pray. God, sometimes we hear a text like this and it can be scary not to have the relationship that's the most important one in our lives here. No marriage in heaven. But you promise us, Lord, we won't be disappointed. We'll be married to you. We'll have that loving, intimate relationship, more joyful, more positive than we could have ever known here on earth. Lord, keep us in faith. Keep us hopeful until that day. We are with you in eternity. Amen. Our worship continues now with our offering.